What was your first job? What was your first job? Do you have it in your head? What was your first job? You remember the wonderful tasks that you had to do for said job? Did you love your job? Did you love that first job that you had? Maybe you're still at the same place that you're working at that was your first job and you've kind of moved up. Did you hate your job? Did you despise every minute of it? What were some of the lessons that you learned from your first job? I had like an unofficial job growing up. I worked as a baseball umpire, but I didn't get enough games to be really, I don't really call that my first job. My first, what I would say is real job that I had was that I worked as a produce clerk at a place called Kroger. If anybody know what Kroger is, oh, there's a few people, praise God. Kroger is like Hannaford, basically. And I would work there, worked as produce clerk, and there, you know, there were some good times, but you know, there were a lot of lessons that I learned when it came to working at Kroger. I learned, just like many of you, how brutal taxes are to your paycheck. Like it is awful. I look at my pay stub. It's not like I was making much anyway, but I see like half of it's gone, and it's like, you're kidding me, right? And it's a good introduction to society, right? But I learned some other things as well, you know, and some more serious things. I learned how to follow under someone else's leadership, no matter how good or bad of a leader they might have been. I learned what it was like with customer service and that philosophy that the customer is always right, right? Even though they're not always right, and dealing with, you know, unhappy people. I learned how to work on a team with different personalities, ones that were unlike my own. Over these years, they were really foundational for me growing into the further occupations going forward to learn what it would be like to work for other people and work with people. But, you know, there was one great lesson that I think stood above them all. You want to know what that lesson was? I learned what kind of worker I wanted to be when I grew up. I learned what kind of worker I wanted to be when I grew up. Here's what I mean. I would be stocking the shelves at Kroger, and I would be evaluating all the staff that was there. You just do it subconsciously, right? You're just watching how people act towards one another, how they talk towards one another. You start to see what kind of effort they put in. And then you start asking yourself, you know, these kind of questions of, you know, does this person, do they work hard? Do they put 110% effort into everything that they do? Or are they there just for the paycheck? You know that within one day. You know that kind of person. When I saw them interact with other people, I'd ask myself, are they kind people? Are they encouraging to the other people that are around them? Are they willing to lend a helping hand? Or are they really just kind of there to clock in, clock out, and maybe even brash, maybe even hurtful with their words? Maybe even they backstab other employees with their words. I learned a lot from my years. And what would happen as I'm starting to evaluate all these different people, right? We all have coworkers that we're doing this with. You're probably even doing it right now. You're thinking of those people that they exemplify good values and those that exemplify bad values. And what I found was that there were a few that I found that had really, they had something that was worthy to emulate, right? There was something that was really good about them, and I wanted to model that when I started working in the future. But you know what? Sadly, I think I found more in this other camp, and I'm sure you have too. The people that didn't model what they were supposed to, that didn't work as hard as they should. And I took those memories and I said, well, I am definitely not going to be like that person. Today, we're continuing this series that we're calling Living Testimony. And the question that we keep asking as we go along this series is how, as a Christian witness, how can I be a living testimony? How can I be an example to the people that I interact with day in and day out? How can I express to other people that I'm a Christian and I live by it? And we've been going through this. And what the Apostle Paul is going to share today in regards to the workplace is this. If you want to have an impact in other people's lives in your workplace from a Christian perspective, you first need to gain the respect of the people in the room. You hear that? In order to be a Christian witness, you need to gain the respect of the room, because here's what happens. People will evaluate, just like I shared with you, people will evaluate how hard you work, what you do, and what you don't do. They will evaluate what you say and how you say it. And they will take that all together. And the thing is with people is that your work life, they will not disconnect from your spiritual life. It's all interconnected. So how they see you work, if you say that you're a Christian, they'll connect your faith with how you work. And ultimately, they will connect it with the Jesus that you say that you believe. You actually serve as a testimony for Jesus. The question is, are we living in a way that lifts up Jesus or tears him down? And so the question that Paul's going to get at today is, how do I be a living testimony? How can I be a living testimony in my workplace? That's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is where we are going to land. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, turn your Bibles in there with me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You know, I know many of us are on different work journeys, right? Like, I know there are some of you in the room, you're students, right? Let's consider that. That is your full-time job, right? That's how you are working, right? There are some of you today that you are in entry-level jobs, that you are just starting to take off in your career. Some of you are in the middle of your careers. Some of you are at the end of your careers. Maybe you are already retired. Maybe you're nearing retirement. Maybe some of you today are looking for a job. Regardless of that, what we see in Genesis chapter 1 is that God called us, just as he called Adam and Eve, he called us to subdue. He called us to work, no matter what stage that we are in. And so even for those that are retired today, let me challenge you that this is actually the prime opportunity for you, whether it's through volunteer, it doesn't have to be a paid job, but through volunteering or whatever it might be, this is the prime opportunity to use the passions that you have to be able to serve in a capacity that you might want to. You know, I was talking to a pastor earlier this week, and we were talking about what are the most productive years of your life? Like, let's put it this way, what are the most productive decades of your life? So 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, what is the most productive decade? You want to know what the most productive decade was in this study that he told me? 60s. Your 60s is your most productive years.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hear this, though. You want to know what was number two? Your 70s. Listen, wherever you're at, God has called you in whatever decade you're in to work for him. Do not waste your moment. Don't retire on God, because God has given you breath. He hasn't retired on you, so keep working. Hope you're there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we'll read it together, starting in verse 9. This is the word of the Lord. Now, concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you. For you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more, and to aspire to live quietly, and to mind your own affairs, and to work with your hands as we instructed you, so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. That is the word of the Lord. So, here's Paul, and he's been teaching us along the way. Honestly, today, we're going to reframe this a little bit. We're going to imagine that Paul is our boss, okay? Just play along with me. Paul is our boss, and we have these Thessalonian believers, and they're newer believers. And so, we'll say that they're new to their Christian job, okay? Play along. Boss, newer to the job. And Paul is here, and he's all the way, really, since the beginning of chapter 4, he's been giving these guys a performance review. You ever have a performance review? Things that you've done well, things you haven't done well, things you need to improve on to help grow. We've all probably done it before. So Paul's giving this performance review, and you know what he says? He says, guys, you guys are rocking it. You guys are doing an awesome job. I'm really proud of you guys. You guys have really stepped up. You're growing leaps and bounds. Even being newer in this Christian faith, you're doing so well. In fact, you're making a massive impact, so much so that, you know, for Paul, you know, he's seen so many Christians go through the pipeline. And he's seen these people that come through, and yeah, they know a lot about the Christian faith, but boy, sometimes these people never apply what they're actually believing. You ever have those people? They say that they're Christians, but they don't act like they're Christians. And Paul's like, no, you guys are the real deal. You guys are actually living it out. You guys aren't only, in terms of brotherly love, you guys aren't only, I really don't need to talk to you about this anyway, because you guys not only know about it, but you guys are indeed doing this with all the brothers, all the Christians, that not only in the city of Thessalonica that has 200,000 people in it, but you are doing this to the region of Macedonia, an even greater population. You are impacting all the believers in this community. You are doing a great job. But you know what? Like a good boss, you know what a good boss does when he sees that you're doing really well? He wants to push you to the next level, doesn't he? He doesn't want you to just stay status quo. He wants you to continue to increase. And that's what Paul does. He says, listen, you guys are doing great, but I want you to do this more and more. I want you to love people more and more. And this was a good reminder for me this week, honestly. And you know, when you read this, it seems trivial, right? Like you're thinking, well, duh, Adam, everybody knows that you're supposed to love people more and more, right? Everybody knows that. And yet, you know, I think if we're to apply this practically, I think there are just times where we don't really want to love people like Paul's calling for, because we feel like we're loving people enough. There's this time, I think we do this in marriage, but I think we do this in different parts of our lives too, where when it comes to loving people, we keep score. You ever keep score? I've done so many things for this person, but I'm also keeping track of what they've done for me, right? I think subconsciously we do it. It's not a right thing to do. It's not really love, honestly. But there's times that we do that. And, you know, I think there's even points in our life, maybe it's serving here in the church and other people. Maybe it's loving a certain person. And it gets to the point, I've given so much. I've served so much. Now it's time for them to serve me. And I'm glad that Jesus never did that to me. And it reminded me that love never retires. Love never retires and never ends. And so it should be the same for us. But even more so, you know, I was thinking to myself too, to do this kind of love that Paul's talking about, to love people more and more, like you can't just be on autopilot. You can't just coast, right? And in fact, to do it really well, you can't just do it passively or reactively. This kind of love that Paul is talking about, this genuine concern for other people, it is like actively, constantly praying for other people and constantly seeking out their needs, even before they might even need it, even before they even ask for it, going to serve them. And you know what? That really challenged me this week, because I think, you know, for that kind of love, that's a lot of energy, right? To exert yourself for. That's like mental energy, physical energy. There's a lot of giving of yourself. There's a lot of emotional energy. If you're trying to talk through things with people, you're giving a lot of time. You're giving sacrifice. And if I can be honest, let's just be honest here today. I think for me, probably for some of us in the room as well, sometimes we just want to give the bare minimum because we want to give more for ourselves. Are you with me? Or am I just the only selfish one in the room? Listen, we all act that way. And Paul just continues to remind us, no, I'm not expecting you to go from here to here, but what I want you to do is just continually, maybe it's just having this in this mindset of just having prayer and prayer for other people continually that come to mind. And again, we mentioned it a few weeks ago, but just reaching out to them, right? It's this simple kind of love for other people that happens more and more. And so here's Paul, and he starts to take this idea of brotherly love, and this is when he starts to transition it to this idea of work. And to understand what's going on here, it'd be best to know the context of it. There's these smaller group of Thessalonian believers, and they've kind of caused a stir within their community. Here's what happened. Paul had shared with them previously about this concept of what's called the second coming. If you don't know what the second coming, it's this. It's that, you know, we all believe that Jesus, he lived this perfect life. He died on the cross for our sins. He rose from the grave. And before he left, he told his disciples, I will be coming back again to make things right and better again. And he shares this with the Thessalonians. And the Thessalonians take this news when Paul says Jesus might come at any time. And they interpret that as Jesus is going to come back next week or next month. Now, let me ask you, if you knew that Jesus was going to come back next week, do you think you'd be really focused on your job right now? Probably not. And so for these guys, they're like, well, I mean, if he's coming back next week, then we don't need to work anymore. So they quit their jobs. They totally quit their jobs. And you know what ended up happening after that? Because they're just sitting at home, they're just waiting for Jesus to return. Because they have so much free time on their hands, they're not busy, so they start meddling in other people's affairs and all the other stuff that other people are doing. And because they have no income, what are they doing? They're mooching off other people. This is the context of what's going on with these people. It's not a good reputation, is it? To be someone that mooches off of people and meddles in people's affairs, not working. Like, that's not a good reputation. And so Paul comes back and he says, hey guys, you as a collective whole, you're doing really well, but we really need to focus on this part. And so he's going to provide three pieces of wisdom on how to redeem their testimony. On how in the realm of the workplace, how to redeem the testimony so you can have a Christ-centered impact in the workplace. And three things are these in verse 11. He says, but we urge you, brothers, to show brotherly love more and more through three ways. First, to aspire to live quietly. Second, to mind your own affairs. And third, to work with your hands as we instructed you. Now, if I were coming up with this list, I would have thought, if I wanted to make a grand impact on other people, here's what you do. You start to climb the corporate ladder, you get to the very top, and that way you have influence over other people. You know, that's one way to do it. But the reality is that Paul wants us to get down to the deepest levels and realize that it's actually the simplest ways in our workplace that are the most transformational. If you want to make an impact in the Christian world, if you want to make an impact in your workplace, you do the simple things first, and you do them really well. And so what we're gonna do is this. I'm gonna do something a little bit different today. With these three things, we're gonna break this down one at a time, each of these phrases. And what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna provide kind of more of a briefer, reworded definition of what each of these phrases means, because some of them could be misinterpreted. And after that interpretation, what I did, you'll see it on the screen, I have positive examples of what this looks like, and I have negative examples of what this looks like from the workplace. And what I want you to do is this. I want you to reflect on your life. I want you to reflect on your work. It might be from the past. It might be right now. Maybe you're volunteering. Maybe you're in the middle of your career. Maybe you're a student. But I want you to reflect on you. I don't want you to reflect on your awful boss at work. I don't want you to reflect on your awful coworkers at work or students that you're with. I want you to reflect on you. This is a mirror for you. And I want you to ask this question. Am I reflecting the things that Paul is saying? Am I doing actually a decent job at them? Or are there some things that I need to work on? There are some things that I pray that you see that are really positive, that you're modeling really well. And I pray that some other people are seeing that within you. But just as Paul shared, we need to show love. How often? More and more. It means that it's a continual daily pursuit for following these things. So let's do this. You with me? Let's try and do this as an exercise, one at a time. And I'll ask you some questions just to be able to think through this more in depth. The first one, to aspire to live quietly. To aspire to live quietly. When you read this, you get this feeling that you're supposed to be a hermit somewhere, right? That you're not supposed to work on a public platform like I am right now. I'd have to quit my job if that were the case. But it gives this feeling like I'm supposed to be behind the scenes, that I'm not supposed to really be seen by anybody. And that's not really the context of what he's talking about. He's not talking about what platform you have, but he's talking about the character by which you have on that platform. What is your character and how you do your work? And so in regards to living quietly, what I think he's trying to get at is live a life that is peaceful. Live a life, you ever been at a workplace and it's just full of drama, right? That'd be the opposite of what this is. You are the kind of person that seeks peace above all things. So with that in mind, let me ask you a few questions. You can see you can read in some of the positive and negative examples. I encourage you, actually, if you want to, take a picture of the screen. And what you can do is actually go to a coworker and say, hey, how do I do with this? It might be pretty revealing to you. You might see some things that you don't want to see, but it's really good for us. So, questions, let me ask you. Would others consider you humble and teachable? Or would they think you are better than everyone else and unwilling to make mistakes? Are you the kind of person who serves in small, unnoticed ways? Or are you more focused on your personal success? You like to seek attention and you could care less about your other staff members. Are you the kind of person who seeks peace? You are, when there's tense situations that are around you, you're actually the one that brings the temperature down. You cool it down. You don't stir the pot. Or are you the pot stirrer that you're actually causing division? You're the one that is actually sometimes making passive aggressive comments to people behind people's backs, maybe even being dishonest to other people. Would you consider yourself content, or do you see yourself as a complainer? That happens a lot at work, doesn't it? Someone that is critical, overly critical in judging others. How are we doing thus far? Are we aspiring to live quietly? First, aspiring to live quietly, evaluate your character at work. Second, mind your own affairs. Mind your own affairs. Now, there needs to be some clarity here. When he's talking about minding your own affairs, he doesn't mean don't show concern for other people. He's not saying don't get involved in other people's lives. That's not what he's talking about. But there was a pastor that I was listening to, and he said it very well. And he said this, there's a big difference between sticking our nose in people's business and sticking our hearts in people's problems. Do you hear the difference? Where our heart is actually caring for them. And then there's the other person, what he's talking about, being nosy, is the kind of person that is constantly looking at other people and looking at what they're doing wrong, what they should be doing and what they shouldn't be doing, what they need to fix and what they haven't fixed already. It's those kind of people that don't mind their own affairs. And you know who they seem to neglect along the way? Themselves. They're looking at the specs of everybody else and missing the whole plank in front of them. And so for Paul, in modern terminology, I'm going to rephrase this. When he says, mind your own affairs, I think he's trying to give this kind of one concept. You ready? Get a life. Get a life, right? Worry about yourself. Stop worrying about all the other people and what they're doing or what they shouldn't be doing. You focus on you. Take responsibility for you. So, with that in mind, you can see the positive, negative examples on there. In regards to how we work with other people, let me ask you. Do you have genuine self-awareness? Do you understand the strengths, but also the weaknesses and flaws within you, the ways that maybe character-wise you are not doing very well? Or do you just focus on what other people are doing wrong and not yourself? Do you take responsibility for things even when it's not fully your fault? Or if something goes wrong, do you blame shift? You know what blame shifting is? It's pointing fingers at people when it's their fault for doing whatever it was. When someone shares something with you in confidence, because there's sometimes confidential information that needs to be shared even in the workplace, do you show discretion? Do you understand their boundaries and trust their boundaries and don't share that information with other people? Or do you gossip and spread rumors around? Do you forgive coworkers when they do something wrong? Or do you harbor grudges against them? Do you encourage the coworkers that you're with, the students that you're with? Or, and you see this all the time in the realm of working, do you micromanage? Are you a micromanager? So we aspire to live quietly. We mind our own affairs. We get a life. But thirdly, and I think this is probably the most practical when it comes to working, we work with our hands. We work with our hands. You know, my dad growing up, he'd always tell me, Adam, if you find a job you love, you'll never work a day in your life. You ever hear that phrase before? And I think that's mostly true. But you know, I think I find so many people that just hate work. Or at least they hate their current job that they're in, right? And you know, I don't know what the circumstances are, but what I find is those people that have a discontent for the work that they're in, you know, in Genesis 3, it talks about how one of the curses of work, God had made work and it was really good. When Adam and Eve disobeyed, the curse of work was that there would be sweat and toil, that there would be some things that it just didn't go your way and it would be really tough work. And what I find with people that don't really want to work at all or they don't like their job is that they will do the bare minimum. They will do, honestly, there's times that they'll cut corners. Right? There's times where they just really do not want to work. And so with that in mind, with Paul, he's not talking about necessarily working like with your physical hands, but he's saying when you work, work hard. So with that, let me ask you, do you put 100% or 110% effort into all that you do? Do you put care and attention to what you do? Do you seek for, I'll call it craftsmanship in what you do? Do you care about the work that you're doing, or do you cut corners? Do you take initiative when the work is hard and something needs to be done, or do you just do the bare minimum? Do you avoid tasks at all costs? Do you go above and beyond the job description and find ways to serve the team even when not being asked to, or do you lack ownership? Do people consider you reliable? Like if I gave you a task, I can say 100% that person's gonna do it. Or are balls often dropped? Are they inconsistent? And finally, do you demonstrate responsibility? Or do you miss deadlines? Do you fail to follow through on the things that you promise that you say that you'll do? Aspire to live quietly. Mind your own business. Mind your own affairs. Work with your hands. How are you doing? We doing good? Not so good? Listen, again, I pray that you found some things that people would say, yeah, I really admire that about that person. But you know, I think there's some things that for each one of us, I pray that there's at least one thing that we saw in here is like, man, I really do need to work on that. You know, for me, as I was looking at this and thinking on myself, I was thinking, you know, probably the one thing, at least that I think I need to work on, I'm sure if you talk to my staff, there'd probably be a billion other things that I should be working on. But the one thing that I think came to mind was, you know, there's times where I can be, at least internally, overly critical and judgmental. I think there's times where I'll have high, because I have high expectations for myself, I'll have high expectations on other people. And you know, sometimes I will preconceive why they are working the way that they are. And you know, sometimes I think some of us, maybe you're with me on this one, sometimes we just need to step back, give the benefit of the doubt to the people that we're interacting with and say, you know what, there might be a reason. So instead of internally accusing somebody for why we think they're working that way, maybe it's just asking the question genuinely to learn what's going on. That's what I need to work on. And that's my prayer this week that I can work on. I pray that there's something for you. That's something for you that you can pray on. Praying, thinking, God, man, God, thank you for helping me be a model in this capacity, but God, would you help me do this more and more? That's my prayer for you guys. Because listen, your testimony makes a world of a difference on this one. It's so funny. It's not even the fact of sharing the gospel that makes the difference in that regard. It's the fact of your testimony in line with sharing the gospel that makes the world of a difference in the workplace. And I know for me, I want to make a lasting impact when I'm here on this earth. I pray that if you were to go to one of our staff, I pray that people could say, yeah, Adam really did follow those things on the board. And I pray that if I don't, I pray that they challenge me on it. And I pray that people do that for you too, because I pray that you can become that living testimony, making that kind of impact in where you're working, where you're volunteering, where you're being a student at. Don't you want to make a difference in the lives of people? Because I know I do. And listen, this is what Paul's getting at. He says, when you make this kind of impact, not only are you going to be the kind of person that doesn't have to be dependent on anybody, you're not only going to have to, you can have financial freedom and you can take care of your family. But at the same time, he says, when you start doing all these things, that you will walk properly before outsiders. Once again, people are evaluating you, how you work, how you talk, how you think, and they are, whether you use dirty language or nasty language at work, or you're actually being honoring to the Lord, they will evaluate that, your life. Some of them will never look at a Bible, but they'll see you. And the question is whether or not you're going to be living that example or not. Some of us really need to take it into the mirror and be able to see, man, am I aspiring to live quietly? Am I actually someone that just goes to the grind? I'm peaceable with other people. I'm not trying to stir division. I'm not trying to stir chaos within the organization. I'm just doing my job. I'm working as hard as possible. I'm willing to help my boss in the best ways that I possibly can. And I just serve in that capacity. And I just do it day after day. I'm a faithful, reliable person in what I do. That's the kind of worker that when people are over here, your non-believing people, sometimes they'll just mock you for the way that you're acting, right? But there's going to be a point where people hit rock bottom. There's going to be a point, coworker that's there, maybe someone passed away, maybe someone's struggling in their marriage. There might be so many different things that they're facing. And yet, they might not know a pastor. They might not know who to talk to. But you know who they're going to talk to? The Christian. They're going to talk to you. Where's my hope at? But listen, they're only going to come to you if you're doing these things. That's the only way that they're ever going to come to you. If you're not doing those things, they'll just go to somebody else. This makes a world of a difference. If you want to make a lasting impact in other people, especially in the workplace, whether it's volunteering, serving in some capacity, being a student, all the way to in the middle of your career. Listen, there's people that you can think of in your workplace, people that do not know Jesus, people that need to hear about Jesus. And listen, there are times when you see them, and I do want to spend some time today just praying for those people. But I pray that God prepares you first before those opportunities come. You hear me? Listen, I do want to provide some preface too. I know in regards to this dependency one, I know that there are some of you are working your tails off, right? You're working 2 to 3 jobs, right? And it still feels like you're dependent on other people. Might be dependent on credit cards, whatever it might be. And there might be some of you want to be employed, you want to work, but for some reason you can't. Listen, this text is not talking about those kind of scenarios. What it is talking about are the idle. The people are not doing squat, who are mooching and meddling. And so I want to encourage you in that. But listen, if we want to be that impact in other people's lives, it starts in the daily working. You know, and I think there's just times we need to evaluate in our lives how we're doing in those things. In fact, it's a daily thing that we need to do. Am I aspiring to live quietly? Am I minding my own business? Am I actually working hard to where God would say, yeah, he is a faithful worker? Or would he say otherwise? If God was doing our performance review, what would he say? That's a scary thought, isn't it? And so when you encounter these situations over here where people are hopeless, they're looking for answers, they don't know who to turn to, but they know the Christian in the room. They know the Christian is you, and you're starting to exemplify these things, the opportunity shoots right up, doesn't it? Because that's the opportunity to say, hey, can I pray for you? Hey, I see that you're really struggling. Is there anything you want to talk about that I can help you with? They might come to you and share everything on the table. And that's the prime opportunity to say, hey, listen, you're in a really tough spot. And listen, I know you're in some difficult stuff right now, but I want to share with you a hope that's greater than the things that you're dealing with right here. I want to share with you the hope that I have, the reason that I keep going, the reason that I have purpose in what I do in my work, because I don't just do a task just to do a task. I do it because I have been commissioned by a king. His name is Jesus. And Jesus came when I was in my desperate situation. And my desperate situation was this, that I realized that I was a massive sinner. I have messed up in my relationship with God and relationships with other people. I have completely destroyed other things in my life. And I wanted to be right with God. I know that one day at the end of my life, I'm going to have to get, something's going to have to happen to me at the end of my life. And I want hope that's beyond the grave. And I came to Jesus, and he not only saved me from my sinful condition, not only did he mend my relationship back with God once again, but he also gave me purpose of what I'm doing here to where I can share with other people that hope that I have that I'm sharing with you, that one day you might be in eternity with me. That is the impact that you can have today.